Greetings to you all in Jesus' name. I'm very excited to be here this morning. Thank you, Brother Chris, for them few words of encouragement. You mentioned the bottomless pit, but thank God for the rock. He's able to take us out of the pit and set us on the rock. That's such a blessing. I was really thankful for that. Well, before we get started here, let's just have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we come before you this morning once again, Lord, and thank you for this opportunity. Lord, I pray that you would help my feeble tongue and bless these few words that I have. Help each one of these dear people to be fed by you as they're expecting and they're wanting, Lord. I pray that you would somehow, out of these few words, do that, Lord. And thank you for the grace and the power of you and your word. In your precious and holy name, amen. Well, in the past week here, I've been, in my devotions, I was reading through 2 Corinthians, and there was a few verses that really jumped out at me, and I just kind of stuck out to me, and I just felt like I should maybe expound on some of those a little bit. It would be in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'll just start by reading this chapter. Chapter 3, verse 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraved in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, this glory was to be done away. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For the ministration of the condemnation be glory. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing that we have such an hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but in their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall be turned to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And I'll just kind of go through these and expound a little bit on each verse, or most of the verses, and give some of the definitions of the words, some of the words. Do we begin again to commend, which would be to praise ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles? An epistle would be like a formal or a carefully written letter of commendation. Praise, which would be praise or a favorable representation in words or declaration of esteem to you, or letters of commendation commendation from you. I think it would be saying like, do we begin again to praise ourselves, or need we, as some others, letters of praise to you, or letters of praise from you? Ye are, verse 2, ye are epistles, you are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of men. It's like, yeah, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. It's like your lives are a testimony, and to all the world and all the people that see you. For as much as ye are verse 3 here. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Manifestly would be clearly, evidently, or plainly, in a manner to be clearly seen or understood. I'll just read a passage in Hebrews here. Dad has been going through the book of Hebrews, and he's went through this, and I was very blessed by many of the things he shared. And it just kind of fits in here. With the new covenant. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, I'll read through 10. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also is he the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. There's also a verse in Romans 2:15 here that says, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. The old covenant was a law written on the Ten Commandments, written on stone. But men were did not have their own strength. They did not have the power to necessarily live up to that standard. And there was sacrifices which had to be made often to forgive their sins. And the new covenant is far better, as it says in... where did we read that? Here, I like how it says, for if the ministration of condemnation be glory, it was like it brought condemnation upon the people which tried to live up to the standard, because they couldn't on their own strength do that. And it says here, if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. That was in verse 9 there of chapter 3 in 2 Corinthians. That really blessed me, how there was condemnation It seemed like upon the people when they couldn't live up to that standard. But now God, through His grace and power, has provided a way for us to live up to that. And it's saying how much more glorious that is than the old. Let's see. And then verse 4 in chapter 3 there. I kind of skipped ahead. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. I think it would be saying like, that is, we trust in God that this is so, like the verses prior to this. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves, verse 5 here, not to think that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Sufficient would be equal to the end proposed, and sufficiency would be His sufficiency is such that He bestows and possesses His plenty, being unexhausted of God. So not that we are equal of ourselves, equal to the end proposed of ourselves, to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. He is the one where our supply. Verse 6 here. Who hath made us able ministers? And this is where I'll pull my text from. My title will be Able Ministers of the New Covenant. Who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit? For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Able would be capable. Ministers would be like a servant or a chief servant of the New Testament or the New Covenant. So who hath made us able servants of the New Covenant? A little bit of my wording there. Not of the letter, not of like the Old Testament, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. A few verses to go with that, as far as the New Covenant. Romans 6:14. Under the New Testament here, these verses here would apply, the New Covenant. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. But then a verse to balance that out, what then? Shall we sin because we are under the law, but under grace? God forbid. It's saying there that we're not under the law anymore, we're under grace. But shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. To not misuse the grace of God. The grace is the power. Grace is through grace we receive the power of God in our lives in a way that It's so that we can be forgiven, and there's grace extended to us to rise again, like if we fall, but not that we live in sin, is what I'm trying to say there. Many extra words. Let's go on to verse 7 here. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. It's saying here that if the Old Testament was glorious, so glorious that the children of Israel could not even look at Moses' face after when he was steadfastly behold the face of Moses, which would be after he received the Ten Commandments from God for the glory of his countenance. They weren't even looking directly on the face of God or on God, but just the reflection of that from the face of Moses, they could not even behold that. And then it says, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? So it's saying, how much more glorious the new covenant is again. Verse 9 here, for the ministration of the condemnation, the law brought condemnation to man. Well, I kind of went over this already, it looks like. Because they could not live up to their own strength. Much more doth the ministration of righteousness, the new and better covenant, which with God's grace and power we can live up to, exceed in glory. How much more glorious. I'm going to read a few more verses out of Romans here. Romans 8. This is talking about walking after the Spirit, like in the new covenant. We'll just read a few verses down here, starting at verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, it could not cause man to, on his own strength, live up to that standard which God had set for his people. God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. We'll stop there for now. Verse 10 here in 2 Corinthians 3. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect. And by reason of the glory that excelleth. What it's saying is, for even that which was made glorious had no glory when it was compared to the glory of the new covenant that excelleth it. Which was glorious has no glory when compared to the new covenant, because the new covenant far exceeds the old in power and glory. For if that which was done away was glorious, much more, verse 11 here I'm reading, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have this hope, we use great plainness or boldness of speech. That was kind of amazing verse to me to see. Seeing this hope gives confidence, and we for great plainness of speech. Verse 13 here. Not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look into the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded. For unto this day the same veil is untaken away when reading the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. It seems like he's saying that Moses was reading the law, the Ten Commandments to them, they put a veil over his face so they could not, because they could not behold the glory. But it's likening it to when the scripture is being read, there's a veil over their heart, so they cannot. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. It's like they can't have an understanding or apply the scriptures to their life, is what I took from it, I guess. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Or when, in other words, when they shall be turned to the Lord, is when they shall be turned to the Lord, the veil shall be taken, and there shall be an understanding, you might say, of the scriptures more. It's like there's a disconnection when the veil is over their heart. Now the Lord is, verse 17, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. A few verses here. Galatians 5:13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but in love serve one another. 1 Peter 2:16 here. As free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, which would be extreme enmity or disposition to injure, but as the servants of God. Then verse 18 here. But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. With an open face, with the veil being removed, we can behold the glory of the Lord. And through spending time with Him and in His Word, being changed into His image. That was a real blessing to me. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So I guess the verses that would have really blessed me was the contrast between the Old and the New Covenant, and how much more glorious it is, in that each one of us have a wonderful opportunity to be ministers of the Word, in the respect that in our daily lives, to have it written in our hearts, and everyone that we meet, we work with, we come in contact to on a daily basis, would be able to see the Word of God written on our lives. And that we are changed from more into His image from glory to glory. Yeah, I hope that you were able to glean some small nugget out of those few words, but it blessed me, and I just felt that's what I needed to share. Thanks for listening.